Well, let's move on to our next pericope. It's going to be for September the 19th from the Revised Common Lectionary. We're going to be reading James 3, verse 13, and chapter 4, verses 3 through 8 from the NRSV. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be the friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives all the more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lance, what does it mean to be a friend of the world and therefore an enemy of God?
Well, James, he ends it there with double-mindedness. So this is what he's dealing with. And so we can be double-minded with the phrase that he's using is world and God. So, you know, so being a friend of the world is essentially receiving from the world what it offers, as opposed to receiving from God what he offers. And of course, when, you know, James says world, he's talking about the mindset, the way of looking at things that don't have anything to do with God, the sinful orientation that we're we gravitate to. So to be a friend of the world, and this is, well, it's a constant challenge of the church, right? We always want to be a friend of the world. We want to look good. We want to be accepted. We want people to like us, you know. nothing wrong with that. But we have a Lord that we follow, and if we take seriously Jesus's ministry in the world, he was rejected oftentimes, and he didn't always make friends, you know. Sometimes we just kind of gloss over that aspect, that Jesus, he didn't always make friends. Sometimes he said things actually that really ticked people off and didn't draw them closer at all. I mean, well, he even told Peter, you know, get behind me, Satan. That doesn't sound like a very loving thing to say, right? Which is why we can't look at ethics and certain things as lists and rules, you know. Well, you never call somebody Satan. Well, Jesus did. Well, why is that? Well, because the Holy Spirit told him to. And it wasn't out of being mean or that kind of thing. Peter was going down a very bad direction. So in love, he spoke pretty sternly to him to correct him. So we have this double-mindedness. Are we a friend of the world, or and if we are, we're an enemy of God? So when we think about who God is, and James has laid the groundwork for a lot of this, he is the giver, the generous giver of everything. God loves us. He wants to bless us. He's not holding back. He is completely for us all the way down. So if we want to receive from the world, we are settling big time. Because we're choosing to receive what the world has to give us opposed to what God has to give us. So if we don't want to receive what God has given us, it's because our hands are already full. I kind of like this image, actually. If we're filling our hands full of the things that the world says we need to grasp and hold on to, when we come to God, our hands are clutched tightly like fists. So in that sense, we are an enemy to God because we are refusing to receive from him. So it doesn't mean he's changed his mind about us and now, oh, well, you're an enemy. I'm going to take you out. No, he's an enemy because we're not receiving from him all the good that he has for us. And so in that way, we're really becoming an enemy of ourselves also.
Yeah, that's... I like that analogy. I mean, when I'm holding on to the things of this world, there's no room left, right? And unless I'm willing by the Spirit to put that down. So That's an excellent way to think of that passage. Well, James makes it clear, you know, talking about an enemy of God, that if we resist the devil, he will flee. So I guess the question becomes, what does it really look like to resist the devil?
Yeah, well, you know, it follows right on that illustration. If we come to God with our hands clenched for grasping other things, and he's trying to give us life, we have to let go. We have to let go of those things so we can receive with open hands what he's giving us. And we would call that repentance. So that's a picture of what it looks like to resist the devil, is we repent. We let go of those things we're grasping onto. And we can do that as we see who God is, that he is the merciful one, the one who forgives, the one who is full of love and patience and grace towards us. We can actually let go of all those things that we're trying to grasp hold of for our own identity and purpose, our own security, especially during turbulent times. But God has everything we need in Christ, and he gives us that. So there's this double movement we see of turning to God, and when you turn to God, you're turning away from something, right? You're turning away from that we're putting our faith in. So that's one way to talk about what does it look like to resist the devil. And we could also bring in, I'm sure maybe James had this in mind, of Jesus himself resisting the devil in the wilderness. And we know, what did he do? Jesus, he stuck with the word, right? He quoted scripture. He stayed receiving what the Father was saying to him. He would not hold on to what Satan was trying to give him. He would not grab a hold of that. He kept returning to God's word. And the end result, Satan left. That's good news, because if you've ever been in those places where, you know, you're under attack and Satan is, you know, bringing the heat, if you will, it's good news to know that he doesn't have staying power. God will see us through, and he will flee. So there is some, if you will, light at the end of the tunnel in our resistance of Satan. He will at some point have to leave, and that's good news.
Yeah. This image of hands continues to come up, and James says, to cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, and I have to ask the question, didn't Jesus already accomplish this through his atoning death and resurrected life? How can we rightly understand what James is telling us?
That's a good question to bring to a lot of passages in Scripture. So overall, we have to understand the audience, the author, what's being said. So in this particular case, James is writing to brothers and sisters. He's writing to the church. So there are a lot of these things that are assumed, right? And it's also, here's a nice principle to keep in mind, is when things are unclear, we interpret the unclear things by the clear things. So if you go back through James, James is very clear that Jesus is the one who saves us, you know, in very direct ways. So when he says, cleanse your hands, we understand, like the readers that he was writing to understood, that yes, he's not saying you cleanse your hands and make yourself pure on your own steam. It's assumed he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. They know this. They know where to go for cleansing. They know who has the pure heart. So again, it's this image of receiving. He's not saying, actually, you know, on your own steam, apart from Christ, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. No, he's turning them back to Christ. Return to him. Give your hands to him. Give your hearts to him. That's where they're cleansed. That's where they're purified. So I think it was Torrance, T.F. Torrance, would say, we can do these things on the basis of what Christ has already done. So, yeah, so we could actually speak in terms of cleanse your hands, you know, purify your hearts on the basis of what Jesus has already done for us. we can live that out in our lives daily.
Yeah, that's thank you for bringing in that Torrance quote, on the basis of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.